Hey guys, and welcome to the number 263 ever episode of Always Talk with Chase. I am your host, Chase Coburn, and today we are back with another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. And in today's episode, we are going to be breaking down 5 overreactions, or maybe not overreactions, that I have through 5 Wizards games this NBA season. And some of them may blow your mind. You're not going to want to miss this episode. Please be sure to subscribe, follow, share, view, and let's jump straight into this. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn.
Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for 3.
Oh, he's over. Troy Brown Jr. finding Beal. Beal puts it up and in. And the Wizards take the lead. Matthews with a steal. Here's Westbrook for 3.
So here we are. We are 5 games into the Washington Wizards season, and it's going according to plan, but not in a good way. The Washington Wizards are 1-4. That is tied for the worst record in all any Eastern Conference, at least, because the Memphis Grizzlies, my NBA championship pick, remember, is 0-6. The Wizards' only win came against those Grizzlies down in Memphis. So right now, not only are they tied, they now actually control the worst record in the Eastern Conference. And we're just going to expect that more and more because, well, they're the Wizards. And I think that we're just realizing that this is going to be a long season. But there are individual things that I do want to break down. And so I have 5 overreactions through 5 games of the Wizards season. I'm going to share them to you guys. I'll break down if it's an overreaction or not. So the first overreaction that I may have: Jordan Poole is not the long-term answer as a cornerstone of this franchise. And I feel like this is one, I feel like I've been going back and forth on Jordan Poole. Because I told you guys before the year, he could be really useful. I also told you guys initially when the trade was made, it wasn't a good idea. Right now, I'm kind of in the middle because the potential is there for Jordan Poole. But this is a guy who I had winning most improved player. And right now, he's averaging just over 17 points per game. He's not passing the ball. Actually, he's averaging less assists than in 2022 and 2023. So he's not adding the facilitating abilities. He's turning the ball over at a similar rate to when he was in Golden State. 3 turnovers a night. Is shooting 30% from downtown despite less shots, and actually has less shots in almost every efficiency category, and yet is shooting less efficiently. And I feel like now we're starting to see when Steph Curry isn't on his offense, when Andrew Wiggins isn't on his offense, when Klay Thompson isn't on his offense, when shooters aren't around him, it is harder for Poole to create the offense. And the Wizards just don't have shooters. Corey Kispert missed some time with an injury. Right, Danilo Gallinari and him are rarely on the floor. When Danilo Gallinari has been on the floor, it has not been great, I'm not going to lie. But then outside of that, the Wizards really don't have any shooters. I mean, Kyle Kuzma essentially has the same problem when it comes to it's the volume over the efficiency. Kuzma's another one, shooting 28-29% from 3 this year. So it's that same issue. And I just feel like with Jordan Poole, we continue to see him struggle. Again, he's not shooting efficiently. He's made many dumb mistakes. He isn't scoring at a high rate at all. Like, he's actually regressed at scoring, as I've been mentioning. And, yeah, and he has no defensive value. Like, I'll be talking about some guys today that, okay, it at least adds some defensive value. They don't. So, okay, is Jordan Poole finally going to start to get it going at some point? Sure. I mean, he's not going to play this bad. At least I hope not. If he does play this bad, you're going to see a man like me, very, very sad. But I don't think he will. I think obviously he'll get better. I think he'll start to find his groove. Again, we're only 5 games into an 82-game season. We still have 78 left. 77, oh my gosh. We have 77 games left to go in the season. But overall, to say that Jordan Poole is not going to be a long-term answer as a cornerstone of this franchise, that's not an overreaction. I think that that could be true, and I think the next few months is going to determine. I mean, you can't say that. He could get going. This season's going to say a lot, obviously, in his first year in DC. All right. My second overreaction, the Wizards will have the worst defense in professional basketball history this season. Now, this one may not be an overreaction because the Wizards right now are allowing over 125 points per game. Right now, if the season ended today, that would be the third worst mark of all time. They have no top-tier defensive player, or players for that matter, right? Daniel Gafford has been okay on the defensive end. Denny Avdia hasn't made the defensive strides I was expecting. I feel like actually he was better at defense a few years ago, which is starting to concern me a little bit. But the Wizards really don't have those defenders. Bilal Coulibaly, we'll mention him later, has been a decent defender, but overall we just have not seen much defensive effort, or we'll talk about effort later as well. Talk about a lot later, but we just really haven't seen a lot of great defensive play from the Washington Wizards, and the only teams that are worse were the 1990s and 80s Denver Nuggets, which is considered one of the worst defenses of all time. I mean, in that span, they allowed 186 to the Detroit Pistons like a year after that all-time worst defense. Like, they were really, really bad. But at the same time, the Wizards made the Pacers score 143 in game one and made them look like a much, much better team than they actually are, especially on the offensive end. So I think this is a slight overreaction. I don't think the Wizards will have the single worst defense in professional basketball history. They're gonna make the run for their money, though. They are gonna force the Nuggets to kind of, you know, sit up a little bit and watch this Wizards team to see if they can collapse that bad. They are absolutely going to have the worst defense in basketball this season. They may actually have the worst all time. I think it's a slight overreaction. I don't think they're gonna be that bad, but they could allow over 120 points a game, which is concerning me for my mental health watching this team almost every night. My third overreaction is a little happier. The Wizards' young core may be better than I thought. And when I say young core, I know we mentioned Avdija and Kispert in that. I'm just ignoring them for a second because now they have such big roles on the team. They're no longer like those role players in a, you know, important game, if you understand, and on a big team with Kuzma, Beal, and Porzingis. So, like, they're not that anymore, so I'm not going to break down those guys. But when you look at Johnny Davis, when you look at rookie Bilal Coulibaly, and when you look at guys like Ryan Rollins, Anthony Gill, Eugene Amore, the Wizards are playing decent basketball when it comes to their young guys. And I'm watching the Wizards Heat game last night, and it obviously isn't going well, and the game is essentially over going into the fourth quarter. But then the Wizards went on a 15-0 run, surprisingly. I know, I'm as shocked as you guys are. Went on a 15-0 run with their young players going against the Heat's backups and bench warmers. And I was really, really intrigued by that. Because, I mean, there's not much going on as a Wizards fan right now. You're already 0-1 to start the in-season tournament. You saw 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists from Bilal Coulibaly, plus 13. Johnny Davis was a plus 19 with 11 points. Ryan Rollins was a plus 15 with 7 points. And then you saw guys Anthony Gill, plus 18. Eugene Amore, plus 18. You saw these other guys step up. And it was good to see, because all the players I just mentioned were the only guys that had a positive plus minus, and it was in that incredible run that Washington had, again, where they outscored Miami at 15-0 to the point where Bam, Jimmy Butler, and Tyler Hero, they all had to come back into the game because the Wizards were making the game closer than the Heat wanted. Look, bottom line is this, guys. The Wizards' young core is playing well. Bilal Coulibaly does not play enough minutes. I'm just throwing that out there. He played 26 last night. But again, a lot of that was when the game was over. I need to see Bilal Coulibaly play meaningful minutes to really determine how I feel about him long-term as a cornerstone of the Wizards franchise. But, I mean, he looks great right now. He's shooting efficiently. He's scoring the ball not at a high rate. I mean, he's not too inefficient. His three-point percentage isn't great. His field goal percentage is all right, though. But it's mainly his defense. Like, the stats won't show it, right? Only 1.2 blocks, right? Only and one steal. So, like, that's not amazing. But, like, he's been a really, really good defender. And I just really like what I've seen from Bilal Coulibaly. And then even Johnny Davis, I know he exists. Coming back from injury, put up double digits last night in only 13 minutes. Kind of like Coulibaly, I want to see some more from Johnny Davis. He's averaging 8 points on the season, 67% shoot. Oh, well, I mean, he's only played one game. My bad, guys. I thought he played well more. Last night was his first game, and he had 11 points in 13 minutes. So, I mean, that is very impressive and very intriguing long-term. We saw him attack the rim well. He was moving well, and maybe he could be a future guard. So I know this individual overreaction has taken a little while, but I don't think this is an overreaction. I think the Wizards' young core is better than we thought, and I just want to see them play meaningful minutes so I can officially conclude that as well. Again, even guys like Ryan Rollins will play really well. It's just about these players getting the proper amount of time on the court. And they have it because of my fourth overreaction, which is because of Wes Unseld Jr., who I think just has to go. Wes Unseld Jr. has to go. And he calls timeouts the worst time. Like, he calls all of his timeouts whenever the Wizards go on a slightly bad stretch in the first half. He never makes it so that he can see what his players have to offer on the court. And I feel like that's a key for this season. You want to see what the guys have to offer. He doesn't do that. He hasn't played winning basketball, even with a good team. And he, again, just doesn't play his young players enough. I mean, Jordan Poole hasn't even gotten the proper amount of time that I would want, right? I mean, if you look at Jordan Poole's stats this year, he's averaged 27 minutes a game. That's less than 30 minutes a game. He was getting 30 minutes a game on the dot. On average with Golden State, and that was when he came off the bench sometimes. So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think this whole Wes Unseld Jr. thing is going to work. I don't think he's the proper coach to win, nor do I think he is the proper coach to develop a young team. I don't think he is the answer. I think he's got to go. I was never too excited about the move. It was just something other than Scott Brooks. He may be worse than Scott Brooks. This is not an overreaction. He's got to go, and he's got to go soon. And my fifth thing I want to talk about today, Daniel Gafford has no role for the Washington Wizards anymore. And look, it's just, I'm such a big fan of Daniel Gafford. I got a cameo from this guy for my birthday 1 year. Like, Daniel Gafford is just, I'm such a big fan of Daniel Gafford, and I want to see him succeed. But this is yet another season where, again, he's only played 3 games due to injury. But this is yet another game where I just am not seeing what I want to see. And I think part of that is just the volume. Like, he's not making a difference. He's shooting 2 shots a game. So congratulations on shooting 86% from the field, but you're not doing anything with that 86%. You're not using it to your advantage. So I'd rather you be less efficient, Daniel Gafford, and take more shots, kind of like we saw when he originally got to Washington. He was taking 6-plus shots a night. And I'm just starting to get a little concerned because when he first got to Washington, he was all over the place. Got close to 2 blocks a game, 10 points, 6 rebounds. Ever since, he's gotten worse. Now, I will give him some credit. He's averaging 2 blocks thus far this year, same for 7 rebounds. But offensively, he's not making a difference. And even with those 2 blocks, overall, just defensively, I'm just not seeing the development I would have liked to have seen. He's on a huge contract, remember, 3 years, $54 million, which starts this year. Then we had a whole episode going into the season on whether Daniel Gafford can be, like, whether this is a make-or-break year for Daniel Gafford. And I concluded, and I'm sure you guys concluded as well, that, yes, this was a make-or-break season for Daniel Gafford. And I'm looking at a lack of offensive production and, to be brutally honest, a lack of defensive production as well. And I don't see it yet. It doesn't have a steal the entire year yet. I mean, it's the defense just isn't there. And this is something I want to mention. It's the effort and the physicality that's driving me nuts about Gafford. Because again, I love this guy. But when you are a center like him, who was built as a 6'10", but he's more closer to 6'9". I guess you can round to 6'10". He's a 25-year-old, sure, 6'10" center. But 6'10" is not a normal height for a center. Usually these guys are 7 foot. He's kind of like Montrezl Harrell, where his size, kind of, you know, laterally, and a bigger guy, is more useful than his height. And I feel like we just haven't seen the physicality that we see from a guy like Montrezl Harrell in his prime. Again, a prime Montrezl Harrell won Sixth Man of the Year. That is what I feel like the ceiling has turned into for Daniel Gafford. But he's just got to start being more physical, and he needs to start using that body to his advantage when he can't, when he doesn't have the 7'1", 7'2 build and that lengthy wingspan. He's got to be able to use his strengths to his advantage, and he's not doing that by not playing the physical basketball I would want from him. So Daniel Gafford, yes, does not have a role with the Wizards anymore. He doesn't fit. There's no players that are really making him better. I think he would be better in an offense that truly has a point guard that could use him really well. So I can't think of a team off the top of my mind, but if Daniel Gafford gets traded, maybe he could turn his career around. I can't see it working in Washington. And again, maybe all of these are overreactions, considering We are just 5 games into the season, and so much can happen. But I'm not liking my chances for Daniel Gafford right now to develop in D.C. I don't think that's an overreaction. I don't think he has a role on the Wizards anymore. And then one last thing I do want to mention real quick, that it's not even considered overreaction or whatever. Like, it's going to be a long season, folks. The Wizards are 1-4. Their only win coming against the Grizzlies, who are 0-6. So clearly they have bigger problems. And in that game, the Wizards didn't play their finest night. Anyway, that is besides the point. It's going to be a long season. Offensively, defensively, there's just a lot that hasn't clicked yet. And it's not expected to click. The Wizards are expected to be one of the worst teams in the NBA this season. And they are going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA this season. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't stay around. You should continue to watch. There's still a lot to look forward to. There's still a lot to break down when it comes to this team. And I'm really, really excited to seeing what's next. But hopefully you guys did enjoy this episode. Those are my 5 overreactions, or not overreactions, to 5 games of the season. Again, it's going to be a long year, but please stay tuned. Maybe we'll react to these later on in the year, and we'll see if they really were overreactions after all. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you got to this point in the episode, I really do appreciate you. Go Wizards. Please subscribe, follow, share, and view. And of course, as always, I'm Chase Coburn, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.